Our next speaker, Mr. Peterson. Bob Peterson is an avid outdoorsman and conservationist. Bob has been a supporter and member of numerous environmental causes and organizations over the years. He is vice chairman of the Images for Conservation Fund and served as chairman of the 2006 ICF Pro Tour of Nature Photography. Bob currently serves on the Texas Advisory Board for Environmental Defense and the Advisory Board for the Texas State University Freeman Ranch. Bob owns a ranch in Central Texas where he has been focusing his conservation efforts on managing the ranch and restoring its habitats to benefit endangered species and other wildlife native to Central Texas. He's very interested in developing opportunities for landowners to manage their properties for the benefit of wildlife while also generating income from those activities to sustain the habitat over the long run. For the last 25 years, Bob has been involved in the high-tech industry. He holds a BS degree in electrical engineering from Southern Illinois University, Carbondale, and has held numerous development and executive positions in the aerospace, robotics, and computer industries, most recently with Dell Computer Corporation. Mr. Bob Peterson.
Well, thank you, Linda. And it's great to be here. It's great to see this many people interested in the types of issues here. Over the last few years of being a landowner, getting to know other landowners, there's a couple things I've come to know as fact is usually people want to tell you how long the families have been on the land and what historic places they have. Mr. Howard made that point very clearly. So I'm here to say that, you know, I own this historic ranch. It's been in my family since 99. That's 1999. So hopefully in 100 years, you know, we'll be able to say the same story, and I think that's one of the reasons why we're all here. One of the things, let's see if I can drive this thing here as well. Make the same mistakes everybody else did. All right, so when I put this together, I didn't realize it at the time, but seeing that everybody else had lots of maps, I'm really glad I put that in there. Anyway, the ranch, our ranch is located right up here in the northeast corner of Kendall County, right there. And we're located right at the headwaters of the Blanco River. It starts literally on the ranch right next door. We're very blessed in that area to have a lot of springs, few of which really are as robust and outstanding as a lot of the big ones you've seen, but the landscape is literally dotted with a bunch of springs. So that's kind of where we are. In terms of the ranch overview, when I started out looking for a piece of property, I was always kind of a nature nut growing up, and and coming back off of this way, have some really nice spring features, and it's amazing the quality of life and the change of life that you see just going a few hundred feet from the top down to one of these perennial springs. I've pretty much used my ranch as just an open classroom. Anybody that's interested in coming out can come out. I've worked a lot with the Nature Conservancy, people like Bill Carr have been out there, Parks and Wildlife, Fish and Wildlife, and everybody that comes usually gives me a list of stuff that they found. So I just kind of aggregated it, and we really do have a tremendous amount of diversity on the ranch. Unlike many hill country ranches, we have very little juniper. So we have a very unusual mixed deciduous woodland habitat, which is a really nice thing to have. Let me back up a minute before I go to that. One of the things that has been talked a little bit about earlier that I really want to kind of reinforce is conservation is not free. Outside of the acquisition cost of the land, and I'm not saying this to show what a great person I am, but I probably spent about $60,000 in habitat restoration, brush clearing, and manipulation for a blackcap vireo project and other things. A lot of the land out there at this point in time, and this goes back to what somebody said, it's easier to do up front. To restore it costs a lot more than it costs to not do it in the first place. So a lot of the land out there, even when you're buying it and putting it back into a program, has to be touched in some kind of way in order to try to bring it back into the natural balance. So after spending all this money for the last 7 or 8 years, I have decided to try to take what I've done and make the ranch start paying for itself. So I've really been involved in a number of projects related to ecotourism. Now, a lot of people don't consider hunting and fishing ecotourism, but I do, and they are, and they're huge contributors to the economy, and I'll show you that in a minute. There's another area called wildlife watching that is also growing, and I'll include birding and nature photography and some other things there. But I just want to give you an idea of how these are and how they play into the economics. So fishing, these numbers come from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Every 5 years they do a survey. The last one was 2001. They did another one last year, and it hasn't been published yet. But this just gives you an idea of the magnitude of the spending that outdoorsmen and other people that get out in the outdoors are spending. So you got 34 million anglers spending $35 billion, and a portion of all of that through taxation goes back into conservation efforts. Hunting is similar, much smaller number, but you know, there's probably not a hill country town or a rancher that wants to that isn't generating some sort of income from hunting activities. And wildlife watching is huge. There's a lot of people doing it, not generating enough money yet, but it's all there and contributing. So the reason I put those up is this data is from the same source. It really shows the trends of where things are going. Fishing is basically flat or up and down. Now, there's not enough data there scientifically to say there's a trend. You know, hunting has been decreasing, and probably will continue to decrease as our populations become more urban. But this other category, wildlife watching, or viewing, which is the birding, the photography, the general reason for going outdoors to enjoy nature, has increased 41% over 91 to 2001. And that's significant. Somebody here mentioned state park funding. You know, we clearly know that there's not a lot of state parks here. But this growth and the need for places for people to go could be a very interesting potential for landowners within the state. This was mentioned, this number I've seen, it bounced anywhere from 98 to 90, but I threw up 94 here. 94% of the land in Texas is privately held. So what that means, if you're going to look at conservation at a regional effort, you can't really be successful without participation of local landowners. And I don't think there's a conservation organization out there now, or a state or local agency that doesn't believe that and hasn't grasped this concept. There's a number of either technical assistance programs, financial assistance programs to help landowners do that. The other key point, whether it's wildlife or anything else, if it doesn't have a perceived value, it won't be preserved. Whether it's an old building on the corner that is valued by a historical society, or whether it's a lowly snake in the grass, if it has no value to anybody, why preserve it? And without income, even if you had the money to buy the property, you still end up having to reinvest in that property to introduce disturbances or something else to ultimately maintain it. So basically, economics and conservation are tied directly together. So just a couple of business facts here from my vast business experience. It is impossible to make money if the competitors give your product away for free. So if a landowner is interested in getting into ecotourism, how can you convince a birder who can go down to Town Lake or Hornsby Bend Wastewater Treatment Plant or any other state park to come out and pay them money to go out and watch a bird? The answer is you can't. But basically those are subsidized activities. These are activities provided by tax dollars to the general overall good of the population to provide places for people to go. But it's not going to be enough in the long term, and it still costs money. For certain activities, though, landowners can offer far superior product. Hunting is a key example. You can hunt to a limited amount in Texas, but most people are paying landowners, whether it's for a lease fee or to go off and do a trophy fee, That works out. The landowner gets some income in addition to his other agricultural activities and the financial implications we already kind of shared. For any business, diversification is a very good thing. If you got all your eggs in one basket and something happens to that basket, you lose all your eggs, obviously. So whether it's conservation or whether it's any other business, it's a good thing. For nature tourism, diversity is essential. I don't know if anybody has either gone on a nature tour or been part of a nature tour. Nature is nature, and it's very unpredictable. So I just have an example. I had a group of birders from Wimberley come out. And it was one of these days, if there's any bird watchers here, it was gray, it was windy, you couldn't buy a bird. And so here I am on my ranch with all these people, and no birds. So I just started walking around, just kind of doing a little interpretive nature tour, showing them the flowers, talking about some of the history. And I was just kind of rambling on like I am now. And I saw these ladies behind me, and they had like their tablets out. And I'd say, well, there's a wine cup. Oh, wine cup. Click with the camera, we move on. And bottom line is the diversity, having other stuff to show them, was key. They really had a great time. We didn't see any birds, and at the end of the day, they didn't care. So basically, water drives diversity. The first speaker today, we were having dinner last night, and he talked about the almost mystical aspect of springs, and it's true. You bring people out, and you show them water, you show them one of these spring areas, and they just kind of glaze over, and it's primal, and it's hardwired into us. It's also hardwired into animals. And it adds to the scenery. Part of the diversity is aquatic as well as non-aquatic. Maybe today they're out, the fish are swimming down the streets, but normally they're not. So water provides really more things for everybody to enjoy. And as we said earlier, it's a magnet for people, it's a magnet for wildlife, and it's a good meeting place for people to come and interact with nature. I do want to talk just briefly about this. I've spent the last 2 years working on this project called the Initiatives for Conservation Fund. And the whole concept there is to provide yet another potential income stream to landowners to be able to generate money off of the environment. That the nature photography portion of that 38 million people that's growing at 41% a year is pretty substantial. There's about 23 million people that do it, and there's almost 10 million people that travel the country just to photograph animals. So part of our project was to raise awareness of that market, create that market, and promote Texas and Central Texas as a destination for these people to start doing it. The concept is real simple. It gets back to value. If the bugs, if the snakes, if all the other things in nature other than the large game animals have value, now they're throwing money back into the system, and there's reason to preserve them and finances to continue to fund those types of efforts. So basically, it all starts with the springs. And as part of that photo contest, my photographer, I was one of the participating ranches, was there, and Parks and Wildlife videographer Bruce Bierman was out there as well. And I couldn't get these guys out of the spring areas. So I just want to show you some pictures that they took, and hopefully you'll kind of enjoy those. As we all know, the rain all starts with the sky and clouds. There's many areas back in the canyons, like I said, where this stuff really comes out. There's a lot of flowstone, almost looks cave-like. There's a lot of different animals. This is a salamander and a frog. So you start seeing other life that shows up around the spring areas. You got things that come up to eat the other life that shows up around the springs. Face only a mother can love there. This is a Texas garter snake. The previous one, I think, was a blotched water snake.
And as these springs coalesce, they form little larger waterways. The hill country and limestone is known for the maiden hair ferns and the rude views. Of course, they get bigger and start forming springs. Other larger animals come for drinks at night. This was actually shot by a photographer one evening. And eventually make their way into larger bodies of water. You see other animals that frequent the waters, a little killdeer taking a bath. And this is her sitting on a nest on the side of one of our lakes. Reflection. Kingfishers, it's pretty rare, but I've never seen one without water being close by. So you start attracting other animals that large, like little larger bodies of water. Ducks, you know, people usually associate ducks with water. And then ultimately one of our larger tanks. So anyway, that's it. I just wanted to kind of add a little different twist on today's conversation. We'll probably end up seeing the Wimberley one.
Is this in your bag for hunters?
Yes, national. At least we're spreading the pain around a little bit.
Sure, but just a couple minutes.
Any questions while we're playing with the tape? Or, I guess, what?